This holiday season, don't miss out on your chance to stock up on your favorite supplements during the Black Friday Cyber Monday sale at my FullScript online supplement dispensary. November 29th through December 3rd, 5 days only, get 10% off and free shipping on my entire inventory of top supplements at drhoffmanstore.com. You stock only the highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere. The very same supplements I prescribe to my patients and take myself. It's the safest and most convenient way to purchase my curated supplements. Buying through FullScript offers fast, free shipping and optional refill reminders via text or email. It's safe, secure, and includes world-class customer service. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com for 10% off and free shipping for 5 days only from November 29th through December 3rd. That's drhoffmanstore.com. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Raul Hoffman. It's our weekly opportunity to field your questions. Questions come to questions at drhoffman.net. And with us today, Layla Mutin, for our weekly convocation, where we look at the questions that you sent via email over the week, and we attempt to answer them. How are you doing, Layla?
Okay, Dr. Hoffman, how are you?
Very good. Yeah, and I'm especially exhilarated because, I saw you this morning, of course, because we had our photo shoot, which was because we're updating and freshening up our website. And so finally, those pictures that make me look like I'm, 45 years old will be replaced by, more realistic pictures. People are, have been saying like, oh my goodness, look how well-preserved Dr. Hoffman is. Well, I am to some extent, but not to that extent. You know, that would be like Dorian Gray, the portrait of Dorian Gray looking young. So we finally updated it, and I must compliment you because, boy, your pictures turned out just amazing. They kind of captured your whole essence and, your great smile and personality.
There were a few pictures there that I was like, that's me. I think the biggest change for everyone when they go to the new website is they're going to see my silver hair.
Oh yeah. And it's, I love it. Cause it's, when I was a little kid, my grandfather used to, take me to the racetracks. He thought that was a good way to babysit a 7-year-old. And, he had his system of betting where he always bet on the gray horse, with a beautiful gray mane, and, sometimes it worked out for him, sometimes. Well, you, however, epitomize that, like a beautiful, platinum colored mane that you've grown out naturally. It looks really great. So,
As long as I'm not a horse, thank you.
You're right. No, I'm not. Don't take it that way. I did not say you look like a horse.
No, I'm not. I know.
And you can run a pretty good race, it's just sign of vitality. So look forward to that because, come 2025, we've got some, surprises in store for you. We've got a new, more functional, user-friendly website, which will display all of our great content, in more advantageous ways. And it's going to be, we'll freshen up the look. And maintain all the good features of the previous website, make it more accessible and usable. So I'm psyched about that. And the picture session went well. I kind of dread those picture sessions because I got to say, I once...
self-conscious.
I know. I once had a patient who was a very, very famous photographer, fashion photographer. And, his name is well-known, but, I'm not supposed to mention the names of patients. He did barter. So I took care of him. And then he said, I'm going to give you a free photo shoot, which really, even in those days, would have been worth thousands of dollars because he was really a very prominent photographer. And they got me in there and they started, fussing around with poses. And, finally they said, this guy is hopeless. Give him a drink. And all the attendants went running to the liquor cabinet and they got me a drink. And ultimately, the result was the most amazing portrait of me ever. Now, this was when I was about,
oh my goodness,
I must have been like 38 or 40. And it's just like, I'm just looking soulfully, right, like a penetrating gaze that goes right through you into the camera, with a kind of a mischievous smile on my face. But I was slightly, you know, if you tested my blood alcohol content, it would have been slightly elevated to achieve that candid look.
But, oh my gosh.
So this, and but, so full, we didn't have to do that this time. So that's the,
no,
we didn't have to do that.
It was good fun. It was, I felt very comfortable there. You know, it was all good. It was fun taking pictures.
Yeah. For something that is not the most, to me, you know, I don't revel in these kind of things. I'm glad I got it over, but it was actually pleasant. So just coming back to, you know, before we get to questions, you know, I think we have to talk about the elephant in the room. And I guess that's kind of a deliberate pun, because the elephant is in the room as of the last election. And, you know, with deference to, you know, all our listeners, because we have listeners on, I think, both sides of the political spectrum and in the middle. You know, it was a very disappointing election for some, and it was an exhilarating election result for others. So I don't want to talk about, you know, the general election, but I got to say that, you know, all politics are local, and our local politics are about natural products and the dietary supplement industry, right? And, you know, we have always been under the gun, and we've been crusading against government overreach to restrict our access to supplements of our choice. That's actually the mission statement of an organization that I'm president of, the Alliance for Natural Health, which is a health freedom organization. And, you know, we haven't championed one particular party or another, but it is very fortuitous to our cause situation. And, you know, who'd have thunk this, is that a Democrat would have joined forces with Donald Trump in a coalition to make America healthy again, which is a laudable goal. So we now have a situation where RFK Jr. is poised to become potentially head of HHS, the Health and Human Services, you know, which is a great, huge government bureaucracy, within which is the NIH, the CDC, the, you know, Medicare, you know, the whole, the FDA, the you know, the Food and Drug Administration. And for some people, you know, he epitomizes the ultimate crackpot. You know, his views are eccentric. They say he's anti-vax, although lately he's tried to edge more towards a reasonable position, which is, you know, I'm not anti-vax. I just think we need to have more scrutiny over vaccines, and we shouldn't exempt them from the kind of critical appraisal that we give to drugs, because now there's currently a pass for vaccine manufacturers to escape liability if their product should be faulty.
Since the 1980s.
Yeah. Which actually occurred under a Republican regime. I believe it was under Reagan that came in. You know, and I can understand the rationale for that, because if there's a public health emergency, you want people to take vaccines, and there's like a, you know, a rush to develop the vaccine, you know, as happened during COVID, you know, it's the public health interests outweigh the potential for the vaccine to cause harm. But nonetheless, I think that the COVID era has created a kind of a loss of confidence in our health establishment. If the previous food pyramid and food plate and dietary guidelines for America haven't undermined our confidence in the food, in the nutrition establishment. And America's health is deteriorating. We're spending, you know, we're not getting the bang for the buck that we should have. There's all kinds of corruption. Doctors are getting burnt out and, you know, ultimately making less money, while bureaucrats are proliferating and, you know, making huge multi-million-dollar salaries. And I think we've got problems in our healthcare system. So as a change agent, I think it is exciting potentially to have someone who's going to take a critical look at it. But I have an article here, which is from Supply Side. which is a trade journal of the supplement industry. And the headline here is Dietary Supplement Industry Cheers RFK Jr.'s Nomination. And, you know, they quote a bunch of people who are in the industry. They say, here's one from a CEO of a botanical plant testing company who says he was, quote, stoked about Kennedy's nomination to lead HHS. He had met with Kennedy and he said, our industry needs a champion. Kennedy asked, what industry? And this guy said, dietary supplements. The guy from the industry, his name is Alan Sudberg. He said, I love and appreciate the dietary supplement industry and my people will be talking to yours soon. So there's all kinds of quotes here from people who lead trade organizations that are for the supplement industry and also individuals within the supplement industry who are cheered by this nomination because they think it means a better playing field for innovation and less of the way of onerous regulation. You know, on the other hand, people say that Kennedy has a lot of conspiracy theories about things that make Americans unwell, that, you know, maybe on the margins of the, shall we say, the mainstream consensus. I happen to know I got a message, you know, in like a direct message from a doctor who was urging me, and he probably has a ban list of all the doctors in America. And I, so it's like urging me to protest the appointment of RFK because RFK is going to gut the health industry, blah, 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 blah. You know, so the mainstream medicine kind of hates him. Mainstream, a lot of mainstream scientists, because, you know, they feel he threatens the grant structure, which is, you know, NIH sponsored research, you know, some of which, he's criticized because it's agenda driven, and it isn't really, you know, it's sometimes like, you know, plant-based diet, plant-based diet, plant-based diet, like, okay, we're, you know, let's follow the money. Who's advocating for that? Big companies like Conagra and, you know, the companies that make Impossible Burger ingredients. You know, so look, it's going to be, I think, a tough fight to get him appointed. I don't know whether it's going to happen. But what it's going to do is it's certainly the debate that's going to ensue is going to put the whole issue of making America healthy again front and center in our political discourse.
Yes, and, please.
You know, and we really have to approach this with urgency, you know, the same urgency that we approach other issues, you know, like whatever, climate or, you know, climate emergency, you know, racism, et cetera. These are issues that have been really platformed under the Biden administration. But, you know, we need really reform on our healthcare side because it potentially could bankrupt America and sap our productivity, even our military preparedness.
It's bankrupted many Americans already, and this needs to stop. And people need to be more informed, more educated about, hey, did you know that's not great for you? Instead of being bombarded over and over with marketing and everything, like everything is just fine. It's not just fine. When over 60% of Americans, adults, are overweight or obese, nothing is fine. So even the government's MyPlate guidelines meant for healthy Americans, there are no healthy Americans. That is the point.
Well, now they just came out with this headline. It was in the New York Times. Now 3/4 of Americans are overweight. It used to be like half of Americans are overweight. Then it was 2/3 of Americans are overweight. And then pretty soon it'll be, we found one American who isn't overweight, you know, headline, you know, 2055, that there will be the last American who was not overweight has just passed away. Just like, you know, like a dying breed, like World War II, you know, the great generation, you know, the last of the World War II veterans passing away.
Right. Oh, my goodness. So I can't wait to see how all of this evolves.
Yeah,
I'm personally very excited.
Yeah, just another thing I want to point out is that it is a little bit of a weird liaison between Trump and Kennedy, because, you know, Trump is going to say, let's deregulate. And mm-hmm. I think some of what Kennedy is proposing is that we regulate the chemical industry and that we regulate the food manufacturers yeah. and that we regulate advertisement and, you know, that we outlaw harmful ingredients and, you know, or have disclosures mm-hmm. of harmful ingredients. And, you know, generally Republicans are sort of laissez-faire about government regulations. Right. So that's an inherent tension within the administration already. And also the Congress may not, even the Republicans in Congress may not want to go along with that, because guess what? They're getting tons of money from the pharmaceutical industry, the food industry.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, that's business as usual. Uh-huh. So there's got a lot of bureaucratic inertia, legislative inertia around issues that are important to RFK. So, you know, well, we're going to have to see how it pans out. But it's an exciting time, I think, for intelligent medicine listeners, because, you know, the issues that we care about are going to be front and center in the upcoming debates. And there's a chance that we can make some progress.
Absolutely. Looking forward to all of that in 2025. Wow.
And by the way, I just want to mention that it is a bipartisan issue, because the senator from New Jersey, what's his name? Cory Booker. Right?
Uh-huh.
Is his name Cory? Right.
Yeah.
Senator Booker is, he's a vegetarian, and he has a whole nutrition platform. He's rerunning for Senate, and his, you know, central to his Senate campaign is reforming America's food supply. Similarly, the Democratic mayor of New York is an avowed vegetarian who says that it transformed his life. He was diabetic. He was going blind. He's big into health reform. So there's a potential for bipartisanship if we don't let politics get in the way with us. You know, it's like, if we just simply oppose one or another side because they belong to a political party that we disagree with on other issues.
Oh. Yeah. And people have to stop putting party in front of everything else. So, and that's another lesson that most will be learning, hopefully, in this new administration. I'm praying for that.
Yeah, I mean, there's a potential to kind of break with some of the old stuck paradigms and, you know, move forward to a more more dynamic political system. Let's put it that way. It's not as in stasis and moving inexorably towards decline of America.
Yeah. Wow. Hear. Okay. This may be a good time, Dr. Hoffman, to take a break and hear from one of our sponsors.
Yes, indeed. So let's tee that up. Listen to one of these important announcements. You've heard me talk for years about the breakthrough health benefits of CBD. Now, our friends at CV Sciences have developed an innovative suite of non-CBD products that mimic CBD's healthful effects. CV Sciences' new Plus Health CBD-free line of gummies and capsules. The Plus Health Clarity gummies are packed with DMAE, lion's mane, and rhodiola designed to boost your cognitive performance, enhance memory, and provide natural energy. You need a little peace and calm? Plus Health's Peace Gummies, soothing blend of L-theanine, lemon balm, and St. John's wort supports serenity and relaxation without the drowsiness. And if you're on a journey towards optimal health, the Reshape capsules are packed with powerful ingredients like berberine and OEA to support metabolic health and help maintain healthy blood sugar levels. For more information and to order, head over to pluscbdoil.com/Hoffman. Use coupon code Hoffman30. For 30% off. That's pluscbdoil.com/Hoffman for the new Plus Health non-CBD collection. Thanks for listening and thanks for supporting our sponsors. And now back to Layla to begin with some of our questions. Questions come to questions@drhoffman.net.
Okay, we've got one from Farina. Because macular degeneration runs in my family, and Layla has always warned not to take zinc or a high amount of zinc long term, I worry about this. I'm taking 40 milligrams of zinc plus 2 milligrams of copper to balance that. Can I take this every day? And how long can I take this for?
So the answer is that when the connection between zinc and macular degeneration was first discovered, they used the dosage of 120 milligrams of zinc per day. And
wow,
that proved helpful in the initial studies. And then they found that other nutrients could make a difference. Nutrients like DHA and other antioxidants.
Lutein.
Yeah, lutein and zeaxanthin. These are the big additions after the Craig Newsome research that I believe was in the 1980s. That's a little much zinc, because maybe there's some benefits for macular generation, but zinc above 100 milligrams per day can sometimes suppress the immune system. It's important for the function of the immune system, but
yeah,
too much of even a good thing can be bad.
That
dosage that you're taking is fine, and it can be taken long term. And it's good that you're taking the copper, because zinc depletes copper, so that's a great combo. But here's the rub. There are certain forms of macular degeneration that where individuals with certain genetic variations can have a worsening of their condition with zinc. In other words, zinc is not for them. I would say in maybe 80, 90% of people with macular degeneration, zinc is beneficial. But for some people, it backfires. Now, how do you know whether you're one of those people? Well, you don't, unless you take a certain genetic test, which tells you about the genetic susceptibility to the adverse effects of zinc on macular degeneration. Okay? That gene, by the way, and you could forget about it as soon as I mention it, is called CFH, or it's abbreviated CFH. And people with variations of the CFH gene have an adverse reaction to the zinc. So it's that's the tricky part there, is that it's not universally beneficial. You know, and so this is why I think the medicine of the future may include genetic testing to determine, you know, different strokes for different folks. For many conditions.
Really, truly personalized nutrition.
Yeah.
And Farina, the other thing is, don't forget that you're also getting a fair amount of zinc from your food, especially if you're a meat eater, fish eater, shellfish, especially red meat. There's zinc there. There's zinc in your egg yolks. There's zinc in organ meats. If you're enjoying these foods, you're probably getting plenty of zinc. But I understand that because this runs in your family, you want to kind of be proactive about this. So, yeah. Oh, another thing with long-term high-dose zinc usage is it can cause hair shedding, hair loss.
High doses.
High doses for long periods.
But similarly, people who are zinc deficient also have thinning hair, right? So
that's true.
Yeah.
So it's like a Goldilocks thing.
Yes, exactly.
You know? So, yeah, things to look for there. Farina, thank you for your question. Okay. Let's see here. We have a question from Louise. Dr. Hoffman, I'm presently taking magnesium taurate, 125 milligrams from Cardiovascular Research. This is on Full Script, by the way.
By the way, I have a friend of mine, is the head of that company.
Terrific.
You know, I have lunch with him. Great guy.
Mm-hmm. Great. I would like to take a higher dose, like 400, but I'm not sure what brand to choose, as Cardiovascular Research doesn't make a 400 milligram, and I don't want to take more than two capsules a day.
Mm-hmm.
Can you recommend something else?
Well, you know, the benefit of magnesium taurate is it's more of a cardiovascular form of magnesium, because the taurine may have benefits in terms of arrhythmias, blood pressure control.
A little dehydrating effect,
but it is
useful.
Yeah, but it's also, and not because taurine is a large, molecule, the binding the magnesium to the taurine, you get less in a pill. Okay. By virtue of the relative heaviness of taurine. You can take other amino acids that are smaller, like magnesium glycinate.
Yeah.
You can take, what are some of the other forms?
Magnesium malate.
Which is also fairly small.
Yeah.
The problem is when the smaller the partner of magnesium, like magnesium hydroxide, that's really very small. It's very concentrated magnesium. It's going to give you diarrhea. It's very cheap, but it's a great laxative, and it's not the most bioavailable because it'll run through you. Citrate, also pretty small, and it's sort of intermediate. It is a bit, it's a laxative for sure, but you also absorb some of it.
Louise, I would just take the three pills to get you up to the 375. Mm-hmm. Just take them. That's what I would do.
And it's kind of hard to OD on magnesium. The main problem for normal people is you'll get kind of a laxative effect. For people who have kidney problems, like really failing kidneys, they do have to be careful about magnesium because their body doesn't filter it out properly. But it's kind of hard to OD on magnesium. And some people think that people need as much as 600 or 800 a day of magnesium to replete their magnesium.
Yeah.
Well, that's elemental magnesium, by the way.
Some even more elemental, and even more than that for some people. And I just want to make sure that people understand taking all this magnesium does not cause your kidneys to fail. We're talking about people with existing progressive kidney disease. That's an entirely different matter. Taking magnesium doesn't cause you to go into renal failure or anything like that.
Right.
People in renal failure have got to worry about a whole lot of things, not just magnesium. They have to worry about phosphorus and potassium and protein and so forth. So,
you want to talk a little bit about elemental versus the weight of the pill? Because say, you're taking a pill that's 500 milligrams, which is kind of a standard pill. And the amount of elemental whatever in that pill is less because...
Yeah.
Whatever the magnesium is binding to, whether it's citrate or malate or glycinate or taurate, weighs more than the magnesium. So a pill that's 500 milligrams may deliver only 90 milligrams of elemental magnesium. And then there's usually a label disclosure of that if you look at the ingredients. And so if your goal is to consume, 400 milligrams of magnesium per day, you have to look at not just the weight of the pill. You have to look at the elemental within that pill. Same goes for other minerals. This is not so much for vitamins, but when it comes to minerals, you look at elemental. Because minerals are elements, unlike vitamins, which are not elements. Vitamins are molecules made of many different atoms together. But, zinc is an atom, magnesium is an atom, potassium is an atom, or an ion, in an isolated form.
Yeah.
And so you're looking at the element, not the total weight of the pill.
Okay. Louise, there's your answer. Take your three capsules of magnesium taurate. That'll get you to 375. Just do it.
Yeah. Because they're taking one is a little skimpy. So it's skimpy.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you for your question. All right. Oh, here's one from David. Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. I'm a type 2 diabetic using a strict keto carnivore diet to control it with great success so far. My A1C is down to a 5.1.
Wow, that's virtually not only non-diabetic, that's optimal. That's really good.
It's optimal, and he's cured his diabetes pretty much.
Right.
On there, he's pretty much done it. Now, David says, I've been told by a retired biochemistry professor friend of mine that it is, at least theoretically, possible to go so deeply into nutritional ketosis that you can actually switch from that to full-on ketoacidosis. Mm-hmm. I've heard conflicting information on this from internet, quote, experts. My question for you is, do you believe it's possible to provoke ketoacidosis from extreme carbohydrate restriction? And in all your years of practice and experience, with carb-restricted diets for diabetics, have you actually ever seen a case of this happening?
The answer is no, no, and no. And
no.
So this retired biochemistry professor, in he has no clinical experience. He just knows the biochemical pathways, and he's misinterpreting the data. I mean, theoretically, you know, if you look at the pages in a biochemistry text, maybe there's a pathway by which that could happen, but it only happens when you have no insulin, when you're a type 1 diabetic. Type 2 diabetics never get ketoacidosis. I don't have, I only have a few years experience in the intensive care unit. We're used to routinely care for patients with ketoacidosis, but they were diabetics, type 1 diabetics, insulin dependent.
Type 1, super high blood sugar, as well as on the other end, alcoholics, severe alcoholism can also put you in ketoacidosis.
Right.
Really, somebody who already has diabetes and is an alcoholic, a severe one, I mean, very heavy, not a functional alcoholic, but really severe, that could bring you into ketoacidosis.
Right. So that's an exception to the rule. I mean, if you're like, you're like a skid row alcoholic, you know, not consuming food, just imbibing alcohol. Yes. Okay. So the opposite problem occurs in type 2 diabetics. They actually have excessively high insulin. And so that is, so the presence of insulin kind of makes it physiologically impossible to go to ketoacidosis. The words sound similar, ketosis and ketoacidosis. By the way, what is ketoacidosis? Ketoacidosis is one of those meltdown situations where you have to go into the ICU and your blood becomes very acidic. And you eventually have, you know, kidney failure, organ failure, and, you know, death. And it's treated with, you know, giving in continuous insulin infusions and hydrating the patient, you know, and then making sure that their levels of critical things like potassium are regulated, because everything is thrown out of whack when you're in ketoacidosis. And you might also take some things to buffer, you know, like basic compounds to combat the acidosis. I'm not familiar with the latest ICU protocol for treating ketoacidosis, because it's been, you know, like 35 years since I've been in the ICU treating patients with that. So that's, I think, wrong. It's actually something that physicians sometimes are mixed up about, because they've learned a lot about ketoacidosis, and then they hear ketosis and they go, well, you need some carbs.
And they think it's interchangeable. Or they confuse the two terms.
Ketosis and ketoacidosis. You can be in ketosis, and that what happens is, instead of using glucose as a substrate for, you know, mostly brain, you're going to get the, you know, beta hydroxybutyrate as a ketone.
Yes.
That is a fuel for brain metabolism, which is actually a steady state fuel. It's used sometimes for treating intractable seizures in children. It's a very strict diet, but can help. And by the way, you never have a zero glucose. You, as much as you take no glucose in your diet or no carbohydrates, you're still going to have a blood sugar that's maintained at a certain level. It's going to maybe be a little lower than it is for someone who consumes sugar frequently or starches frequently. You know, not to worry. And this guy's doing exactly the right thing. I mean, look,
he's
this is
great.
A wonderful example of how you can turn the ship around with the right kind of low-carb diet.
That's it. David, you pretty much cured your type 2 diabetes, and he's been doing this. He's had an A1C of about 5.1, plus or minus 0.2 for virtually all the past 12 years. I say bravo.
Yeah.
Bravo, David. You've done it.
And, you know, your eyes, your nerves, your kidneys, your brain,
your body,
your arteries. Thank you for keeping that blood sugar level low, because blood sugar at a high level is toxic to all organs.
We have to start calling it what it is. It's carbohydrate toxicity.
It is beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Carbohydrate toxicity. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, David, fantastic. Bravo. I'm clapping for you.
Yeah. No worries.
All right. No worries.
So end of part one. So give us a preview of what we're going to talk about in part two.
Oh, Renata says, I'm just on the cusp of osteoporosis, and my endocrinologist is willing to let me try strontium for a year before I do another bone density.
That's open-minded. Okay. Good. Yeah. Okay. We'll talk about that in part two. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, today with Layla, because it's our weekly Q&A with Layla. We'll be right back with more of today's show.